Morning, SP. Thank you for joining us today and even those who are listening online. So let's start in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, God, for great is thy faithfulness. We thank you, God, for a good rest that we have last night, and now we have this new morning, privilege, blessing, and favor that is coming from you to face the day, because you are with us. As we open up this day, God, by just abiding, listening, and receiving your word, thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting your promises, your power unto us. And we bless you, we honor you. Thank you for leading us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's open our Bible to John chapter 15, and we were going to read from verse 1 to 8. Sorry, I put it 9. It should be 8. So I will be reading in the New King James Version. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. Bless the reading of the word of God. Amen. These teachings had been shared many times, and even just recently when our pastors and the whole church in Hong Kong shared during the Lenten season about the seven statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the great I am. I do believe that this one is shared by PSAM as well. Jesus is the true vine. Now this teaching conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciple comes the night before his crucifixion, before his death. This is evening, and this is just they are just finished eating or celebrating the Passover in the upper room. Now, after the eating, the Last Supper, they go out with the disciples, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let's go out now." So they are now going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as they walking going to the Garden of Gethsemane, this is one of the teaching of the last words of the very important teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave this teaching to them, for the disciples. Just like what we have heard to Peter, that maybe, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ saw this big engraved design on the gate of the temple with a vine. Or other also believe that because they are going to the Garden of Gethsemane, they might probably passing by with a garden of vineyard. Because it is also they're also going to pass in the olive tree, farm. So this is a teaching wherein the Lord Jesus Christ called out, shared to his disciples with regards to the vine or the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see this in the scripture that we read. There are four characters that he mentioned that the Lord Jesus Christ told in this verse. He said he is the true vine. Now, this vine is a very familiar in the Old Testament as well, because God also uses this one to represent the people of Israel, which is the vine, which we can read it in Psalm chapter 80, verse 8 and 9. It symbolize the people of Israel symbolizes also the vine. In Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9, it says, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nation and planted it. You prepared a room for it and cast it out to take deep root, and it filled the land. So this vine also in the Old Testament represents the people, but in the New Testament, in contrast with Jesus is the true vine, we must be rooted, and our identity should be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the people or not in the nation of Israel. Our identification is in Christ Jesus himself, not in Israel and not in any other kind of church and not any in the church, but our identity should be rooted in a true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. Both the Father and the Son, even Father, the vine dresser, the gardener in the Old Testament is the one who is also cultivating and managing the vine. God fulfilled these roles in the new to the believers in the new covenant or in the New Testament. In the new covenant, both the relationship of both the Father and the Son with both the vine itself and the vine dresser is the one who is cultivating and managing the growing and the fruitfulness of the vine. Now, the other character is mentioned branch. I do believe there are three branches that he is trying to tell to his disciples. The first branch we can see in verse 2a, which is branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And the other one is branch 2, is in verse 2b, bears a branch that bears fruit and prunes that it bears much fruit. Then the other branch, third branch in verse 6b, is the branch that does not abide and it is cast out and it branched and withered. So right now we are not going to focus. I will be focused now on the three branches because, you know, Jesus is the vine. We know that he's the true vine. So many teaching about that. Now I'm going to focus on the three branches that these teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in our scripture. Beginning for the branch one, he said that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. There are so many interpretations in this scriptures that talking about salvation. That if you are not fruitful, then you'll be taken away and your salvation will be taken away. Even the text version, they use the word cut off. No, you know, in other version, the text taken away, they use the word cut off in this verse. Verse 2a. And I believe he said in the word that every branch in me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, stresses in me. So I believe that this branch is a believer of Christ. Jesus signifies that he is a believer in Christ Jesus. This branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now there are three theories offered at this point. The one that's not the taken away is the one represents a Christian who lose their salvation. This is a theorist who lose their salvation. Second is that they are Christian who commit the sin unto death as described in Acts chapter 5 verse 11, Ananias and Sapphira. And the third theorist is represent those who are professing Christians or religious people who finally severed or cut off from their superficial connection with Christ, and all those people that is falling away or having the sin of apostasy or apostate Christian. These are the three theories that it offered at this point on the scriptures. But let us see if the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that let's see first the promises of the Lord Jesus, the security of salvation in him, which is found on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is one of the promise. Those who believe in God, they have will not perish and will have everlasting life. In John 10, verse 28 and 30, he said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So in John 10 even said that the true believers, which is on the hand of the Son and of the Father, no one can snatch them out on the hand of God. This is a promise. This is the word of God. This is the assurance of the security of eternal life, of salvation in Christ Jesus that mentioned in the scripture in the Bible. Then, so what is the meaning of the passage? Then, if true Christian cannot lose the salvation, why warn about this passage and the scriptures that we need about not bearing fruit? So we will try to look this and understand the context, looking on God's unconditional love and mercy. We're going to see this scripture understanding in the lens of the unconditional love of God and His mercy. First, we have to look the way how they plant or the farm or grapes or vine in Israel during that time. Mostly, you know, the vine or the grapes, they just crawl on the ground, and others, they just put those vertical wooden sticks or so that the vine will creep on that stick and elevate it on the ground. Those branches on the ground, sometimes if it rains, some branches will cover by soil. And even those branches going up, creeping on the stick, on the dry wood, because of the thickness of the branches and the leaves, some branches are covered by each other. That's the way how. So sometimes the other branches on the bottom, and it cannot be, lighted up by the sun. That probably might be the cause that they are not bearing fruit. Second is to understand the original context or the text that is used in verse 2a, which is the word takes away. What is the original Greek word, the meaning Greek word in the word takes away? It is aero. I hope I pronounced it right. Aero is to understand, is meaning to lift, to take up, or to raise. Meaning to lift, to take up, or to raise. That is the meaning of takes away in the original Greek form. Now, applying the original definition in verse 2a, is the vine dresser lift it up, take it up, those branches that are bearing fruit to give light and expose to the sun, S-U-N, clean the dirt or the soil on top of them so that it will help them to bear fruit. Because probably it is lack of sun or because it is covered by soil, that's why it needs to be clean to lift up and it will be to expose it to the sun, to bear fruit. To apply it in our Christian context, by the rich mercy and love of God, by the rich mercy and love of God, those believers in Christ purchased, redeemed by His blood, and none will take away from the hand of God and the Father's Son. The Father knew you are not producing fruit for Him. Maybe you are running away with your calling or to His calling. Maybe because of fear that you're afraid to share your faith to others, or maybe wrong understanding you have received before with regards to the living in the kingdom of God, or maybe because of hidden sin or the sin that you have done that become or made you called momentarily of your faith, but convicted by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, when that comes or that is your situation, the Father will lift you up and bring you to the Son, S-O-N, to His Son, the true light, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. So you may bear fruit for Him alone. In Him alone, we can bear fruit for God. Our vine dresser will help us and cause us to bear fruit. Yes, sometimes problems can cause us to be, you know, sidetracked a little while. But a true believer in Christ, time will come that he will not stand away from the presence of the Lord and come to repent. And from that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, will lift him up and bring him again to the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one speak discipline, cutting off for the fruitful branch. The other speaks of encouragement, lifting it up to help it produce, but fall into the hands of our divine gardener who knows what is needed. God knows what we need. He is our divine gardener. That is the branch number one. The branch two, which is read in verse 2b, and every branch that bear fruit, he prunes that he bear more fruit. This is the Christian is already, you know, bearing fruit, but still God wants them to bear much fruit. We know that this fruit can be found in Galatians 5:22, verse 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against us there is no law. There is only one fruit, that is the fruit of love, that is manifested in joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Christian believers are bearing the fruit of love, and God will cause him to bear more fruit. But it's said in the scripture that this one that is bearing fruit, in order to bear much fruit, it needs to be cleansed and pruned by the fathers. The difficulties that we are facing is not always came from the enemies or attacks of the enemy. The difficulties that we are facing is not always came from the discipline of God. Even sometimes in the foolish things that resulted into sin is not always came from that, or it can be all of the above. But sometimes it's said in the Bible because God are pruning us in order for us to bear much fruit. Just like in John 15:2 said, it may simply be because you are actually fruitful. It may be that you are abiding and bearing fruit. And the divine vine dresser says, good. Now I'll just make another cut, pruning, so that even fruit can come in the future. That every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it, that it bear more fruit. You sometimes don't be, you know, surprised that it seems like that. I heard some teaching before that one man of God, that if he is walking, you know, so smoothly, all is good around him in his life, Christian walk, it seems that this is not an ordinary thing for him. There should be always some testings and trials and sufferings. That is the way he is looking his Christian life. And I do believe he is talking about that in order for him to bear much fruit, there should be some, you know, it might look in our own eyes or lens suffering and testings and trials, but probably the right context is pruning from the Lord so that we may continually bear much fruit. Imagine if only the vine can talk, no? And then when he saw the gardener once a year, and then he begin, you know, to cut again the branches of the vine, probably the vine will say, no, don't cut me. I still remember the last year that you have just cut all the things that I need. But God is not the way the gardener, the human garden is doing the vine cutting or pruning. He knows where to cut so that you will bear much fruit. He knows where and when to cut. It doesn't mean that cut feels good. Yep, there's no testings and trial that is good and feel good, even to the branch, but he cuts for our good. Amen? That we may bear much fruit. Second, in order for us to bear much fruit is it must abide in the Son. Abiding is remaining fellowship with reliance upon and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 5 said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. We should be constantly attached and have fellowship and relying and dependent on the vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. That's why obedience and fellowship and dependence on God is so important in being fruitful. That is the second branch, bearing fruit. So if you're experiencing anything, suffering, testing, and trials, I think you have to look that, are you in the second branch? Probably you are in the second branch right now. If God is pruning something in your life that you may bear much fruit. And now we come into the third branch. Before, I only look at this passage that I can only see two branches. Before I see the first branch and the third branch are only one branch. But when the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit reveal His Word, I believe that this is the third branch, which is different from the first branch that it takes away. And this time, it said that if anyone does not abide in me, the first branch, the Lord Jesus Christ did not say that these branches are not abiding in the branch. Because even say the branch that is in me. But in this third branch, it said, does not abide in the vine. He casts out, thrown away. The word used now is cast out or cut off, meaning thrown away, thrown out or away as a branch and withered. Even it said in the Message version, said, separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 29, warns against the sin of apostasy. For if we are willfully sinning after receiving the full knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice concerning sins. This apostasy, you cannot see it, read it in the Bible, but the full idea of the word falling away, we can read it in the Scripture. Just like the word Trinity, we cannot find the word Trinity in the Bible, but the idea of the presence of the triune God is in the Bible, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the biblical meaning of apostasy? So we are now on the third branch. This is not the same on the first branch. This third branch is the one that's cast away and turned it under the fire. Apostasy is an intentional falling away or defection. Those who move towards Christ right up to the edge of saving belief, who hear and understand the gospel and are on the verge of saving faith, but then reject what they have learned and turn away. These are the people perhaps even aware of their sins and even make profession of faith, but rather than going on spiritual maturity, their interest begins to diminish. The things of the world have more attraction to them rather than less. And eventually they lose all the desire for the things of God and they turn away. The Lord illustrated this type of people in the second and third soil in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9 to 18. This is the one that is planted on the rocky soil, that is the second soil, and the one that is planted on the thorn area, which is, you know, the way the thorn and the rocky soil, it it stops, it prevents, it avoids the growing up of the plants. It chokes, and it even the root, it will not grow deeper to the soil because of the rock that is representing the rock, and the thorn is the world, or the desire of the world, or the cares of the world. These are the one who receive with joy. When they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy. But because they are drawn away by the cares of the world and torn off by the difficulties they encounter because of Christ, and then they fall away. Second is apostasy is willful sinning. This is the consciously and deliberately rejecting Christ. To know God's way, to hear it preached, to study it, to count oneself among the faithful, and then to turn away, to become apostate. Those who receive, they understand the word of God, but still they reject the truth of the word of God, and they willfully sinning. Carries with the idea of sinning continually and deliberately. We know the passage in John 10:10 said, the enemy comes to steal. What is steal? Steal the truth. The enemy come to kill the conscience, that you will never, you know, identify what is the right and wrong. And the enemy come to destroy, and then destroying both, you know, your body, your thinking, even your soul, and even your spirit. Because if you keep on sinning, you don't know that you keep on sinning deliberately and willingly, eventually we know where they are going. But the true believer, on the other hand, is one who lapses into sin and loses temporarily fellowship. This is the true believer. Loses temporary fellowship with God, but he will eventually come back to God in repentance, because his heavenly Father will continually woo and convict him until he can't stay away any longer. A true believer, yes, sometimes momentarily because of sin, we sway a bit. But the Holy Spirit will continue to convict us to the point that we receive and come to Jesus again and repent of our sin. That is the true believers. That is not the one that is apostate. The true apostate will continue to sin deliberately, willingly, and with abandon. We read it in John 10 that the Lord Jesus said, no one can take away in the hand of the Son, or snatch them away in the hand of the Son of the Son. So neither the enemy, he cannot snatch the true believers in the hand of God. Even, you know, people, they cannot snatch them away. Even problems, suffering, trial cannot snatch them away in the hands of the Father. But it doesn't say that this person can't live in the hand of God. If this person deliberately go out, step out, falling away in the hands of God, then that is a different statement. That's a different event that will happen. Third is apostate have knowledge, but no application of that knowledge. Like if Jesus Iscariot is the perfect example. He had but lack of true faith. No other reject of the truth, had more better exposure to the love and the grace of God than Judas. He was part of Jesus' inner circles of disciples, eating, sleeping, traveling with him for years. He saw the miracles and heard the words of God from Jesus' very lips, from the best preacher the world has ever known. And yet, he not only turned away, but was instrumental in the plot to kill Jesus. We know Jesus Iscariot. He was with Jesus during the ministry of the Lord Jesus here on earth. So miracles, signs, and wonders. But still, he lacked of faith and he turned away, and he was instrumental. and plotting to kill Jesus. Having turned his back on the truth, and with full knowledge, choosing to willfully and continually sin, the apostate is then beyond salvation because he has rejected the one true sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is rejected, then all hope of salvation is gone. To turn away willfully from this sacrifice leaves no sacrifice. If leaves only sin and penalty for which is eternal death. The passage is not speaking of a believer who falls away, but rather someone who may claim to be a believer or even those who fall away. Anyone who apostolizes is proving that he never have a genuine faith to begin with. To give you some biblical reference, I will not going to read it all, but probably you can read it later on to those with regards to apostasy is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. Let me just read this one. They were made free from the evil in the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if they return to evil things and those things control them, then it is worse for them than it was before. Yes, it would be better for them to have never known the right way than to know it and turn away from the holy teaching that was given to them. What they did is like a true saying, a dog goes back to what is thrown up, and after a pig is washed, it goes back and roll in the mud. We can also read Hebrews 6:48 and also read Luke 8 chapter 13. So there is a biblical references to those who are turning away. And it's also clear that they are not abiding and they are removed and cast it in the fire. I will end up this teaching by reading again verses 7 to those who are bearing fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask and you will, whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so will be my disciple. Not only that when we abide in the Lord, not only that we are going to bear much fruit. The word of the Lord said, ask. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, so that the Father will be glorified and truly we are a disciple of Christ. Amen. As I call Annie to lead us in worship, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Where are you right now? What branch are you right now? Are you the first branch that needed to be lifted up and raised up to bear fruit? Come to the Lord, and he will raise you up, and he will lift you up. Are you the branch that is bearing fruit right now? Praise God. But you are asking this question, why you are experiencing this, why you are facing these difficulties right now. Give glory to God, because he is preparing you to bear much fruit. But the third branches, I am praying that none of this church is going to be in this third kind of branch. So let's just come to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit speak to us.
Sure.
God, this teaching that is coming from your very lips, God, we thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for giving us the new lens and perspective of the things that we are facing right now. Maybe, Lord God, we are facing, Lord God, difficulties, but you are so faithful, God, that you are going to lift us up, that we may bear fruit. We may face pruning and difficulties, so we may bear much fruit for your glory and for your honor. I pray, God, that keep, Lord God, into your hands those who are true believers, Lord God. In Christ Jesus, Father. Thank you for all of these things, God. It is only by you and whom you alone that cause us to bear fruit. As we continue to abide in you. Thank you, Father God. Let's go into our prayer time. The Lord said that ask whatever you desire. So let's desire right now, as a true believer of Christ, to pray for the healing of those who have cancer, and those who have having this chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Let's lift them up. Also lift up the community that's having illness, our brothers and sisters, friends and family members that is having illness and need a word of salvation. Let us lift up in prayer. So also lift up those who are having infirmities. Let's pray. Also pray for those who are suffering COVID and those who are on the frontline medical workers. Pray for strength, healing, and pray that covering and protection for medical heart workers, and that love of God will continue to pour out in their heart to serve those who are in sickness. Let us pray. Also lift up those who are praying for jobs. Pray for the faith continue to rise, patience, provisions, and peace in their heart as they are waiting for the perfect, the answer of the Lord in their prayer. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's also lift up our mission focus for the day. Let's pray for China, SP Beijing, SPHK RP Hanzhou, and SPHK HRP Ricky, and Chongs, and the churches. Let's pray. Let's also lift up our board. Pisan, Pinet, Kiwan Chung, Su Moon, Xiaoming, Janie, Chen, Hongzhu, Monica. Let's pray. Let's also pray at a fellowship today, at a fellowship, the young adults, the men's ministry, the women's ministry, and even pray also the parenting seminars that is ongoing. So let's lift up. Let's also lift up our SP 2.0. Hallelujah. For his perfect timing, and God will just bring the right person, you know, to just or just bring the right blessing for this prayer. So let's lift up. Let's also lift up our pregnant women in our church, Joanne Kaman, Fiona Leslie, Dayon, Winnie, and others. So pray for covering protection, both the mother and the baby, good health, and joy of the parents as well. Let's lift up. Thank you.
Let's also pray for the house church that we're meeting tonight. Charity Fortress, Chia, Lido, Lion Rock, you can do it, there's the NMSP. That could be a wonderful meeting, fellowship, presence of God, God-centered, led by the Holy Spirit, and also God covering and protection upon them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayers today, reaching out, Lord God, our prayers. And we thank you, God, that in your perfect will and timing, Lord, you will, Lord God, answer all this desire of the answered prayer, Lord God, in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for keeping us, Lord God, in the palm of your hand. Help us, God, to continue living in the truth, abiding in the truth of your word, O God, abiding in you, Lord Jesus. Continue clinging, relying on you in every aspect of our lives, that we may bear fruit that brings glory unto you alone. For we acknowledge, God, that apart from you we can do nothing, and only by abiding in you, obedience, can we bear fruit unto you, Lord. Thank you, Father, and we bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church, and God bless you. Continue praying. See you again tomorrow.